My name is Tom King. I write Dick Grayson for DC Comics. And like everyone who loves Dick, I love the Court of Nerds.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Court of Nerds, the only podcast specializing in uncle jokes. I'm Drew.
I'm Greg.
John.
Still Grant.
I hate when you have to share a mic. When Grant has to share a mic with anyone, it instantly makes the entire room uncomfortable.
We're holding
but
hands.
It's going to be an uncomfortable podcast that focuses on the four pillars of nerdery, as we call them. We've got gaming, we've got books, we've got TV, and we've got movies. And this week, we've also got the grand poobah of Grand Rapids Comic Con. Mark Hodges himself will join us. They have some incredibly exciting guests already lined up this year. We're going to talk to him about that. He'll probably tease a few things that he won't be able to tell you guys, but he's going to be very excited about
things
them.
Things that we'll hear off air and still not tell you?
Yeah, because we're good like that. But to start things off, like, John, you said you have good stuff today. I'm going to give you the lead, John.
Got good stuff.
What you got today, John?
Amber Heard is confirmed to be playing Mera, Queen of Atlantis, and wife of Aquaman in James Wan's Aquaman.
Lucky broad.
Lucky broad, married to Jason Momoa.
Oh, yes. Yeah, so,
real-life husband, Johnny Depp. So this is a huge step down for her.
Yeah.
Just kidding, it's a step up.
Yeah, and I mean, she's been in Zombieland, Pineapple Express, and Alpha Dog as well. So that's exciting. She's pretty. She can pull off a mermaid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was
there's not a mermaid.
Whatever. I was rooting real hard for Christina Hendricks, buxom redhead, but whatever.
Mermaid,
whatever.
Mermaid enough.
Mermaid enough. She's mermaidish.
But Zack Snyder came out and quoted on Latino Review about why Grant Gustin wasn't picked for The Flash. And he says here, "I don't think it was a good fit," said Snyder, "because he's very strict with the universe, and he just didn't see a vision where Grant Gustin was good, because this movie is supposed to be extremely, extremely dark. And even if Grant Gustin was his favorite guy in the world, he's very good. We made a commitment to the multiverse idea, so it's just not possible." So there's your reasoning for Snyder. Now, I mean, it's kind of a cheapy way out of it, but
Snyder hates fun. Let's just say that. Snyder hates fun.
If they're going to be dark, if it's going to be dark, though, it's, whatever.
I'm going to be the one guy in the room that's actually going to defend Ezra Miller, because,
no one is attacking Ezra Miller.
No, I know. I'm just saying, Zack Snyder is a douche nozzle, but we all know this.
Right, and that's not Ezra Miller's fault. I don't think anyone's hating on Ezra Miller. We're just saying, just ruling out Grant Gustin based on the fact that you want a darker, grittier universe. There have been some dark episodes of The Flash where Gustin has delved deep into the character and has just knocked it out of the park. So why would you, for foreseeably no reason other than, we wanted a darker, grittier tone, you rule out Grant Gustin, who is Barry fucking Allen.
Mm-hmm.
He is. He embodies the character. I didn't anticipate it when he was cast, but he has just absolutely destroyed it.
Next, for good, is Batman vs. Superman's getting really good reviews from its pre-screenings, and it's mounted in 9.3 out of 10 on IMDb, which is very subject to change. But with no spoilers, people are saying that it's dark, darker than the Nolan Batman trilogy.
Oh, great.
And that Batfleck is the best Batman to date.
That's what we like to call prisoners of the moment.
We'll see, right?
Yeah.
It's also very action-packed, it better be. But we will get to see the critic reviews tonight. Hopefully, I think this releases tonight. And that's where you're going to get the non-biased opinions from what you're saying. That's what we want. We want the critic reviews.
There's this phrase in moviedom, and it's something along the lines of the Rotten Tomato effect, where as soon as a movie comes out, the reviews are much higher than in subsequent weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So what'll happen is we'll start seeing a normalization of the...
it happened with Star
Deadpool.
Wars, too.
Deadpool, remember, it started out at like a 98%, and people were going, holy fuck! Now it's at, a comfortable 83 or something, which is still really, really good for that movie.
Right.
But we see this all the time with movies. Any genre of movie, it has the exact same thing. So this will probably happen with Batman vs. Superman.
It's also expected to break worldwide box office records with projected $350 million worldwide.
I don't like doing that right off the bat.
It's pretty crazy. It's a pretty high number.
That just seems risky to predict something that big and be like, yeah, we're predicting this is going to, you know, break every record ever made. So
it's like when you walk into a bar and be like, ladies, I've got 10 inches down there when really you're packing four. You're selling high, and you're going to add disappointment when people finally see it.
Well, it's like when you're a 13-year-old, and you're like, I'm going to be a basketball player. Look at me play. Right. I'm a coach, say I'm great.
I'm going to play football at Michigan State.
Yeah. You're setting yourself up for failure when you do something like that.
13-year-old Drew set himself up for a lot of failure. A lot of failure.
And my bad, it really doesn't have anything to do with comic books or anything nerdery, but this is really bad for movies, okay? The Bronze came out. It's an Olympic movie it's starring Melissa Rauch, who's Bernadette on The Big Bang Theory. And that's why I wanted to bring this up, because it had the 14th worst opening of a wide release ever. It opened in 1,167 theaters, making a grand total of $386,328. That's $331 per theater. That's 33 people per theater per day. That's not showings. That's per day. So if there was six, showings within the day or whatever, how they do it, that's ridiculous. That is a bomb of a bomb of a bomb of a movie. And the only reason that movie even got put out, and it was Sony Classics that put it out. It wasn't Sony, so it was the lower studio. But
like the Fox Searchlight stuff.
Yeah, sure. But it's Melissa Rauch, The Big Bang Theory. That's why this movie was like kind of pushed a little bit, because it'd take a big star from a fancy show and try to make a movie out of it, and it failed. To put it into perspective, Star Wars, in its 14th week of being released, managed to triple Bronze's gross with almost $1 million in its 14th week out.
Absolutely ridiculous.
So that's movies. Next up.
All right, I'm going to jump in with gaming real quick. The 2016 Game Developer Conference just wrapped up. A lot of news coming out of it, and I'm going to try and summarize most of it for you guys as best I can before I move on to my other things here. Everything's getting VR. VR, VR, VR.
Yep.
PlayStation previewed its VR system.
VR is the new 3D?
VR is the new 3D. Star Wars is coming in virtual reality. They will be adding a virtual reality component to Battlefield. A VR experience, if you will, with the PlayStation VR. There are going to be horror VR games as well.
As they better be.
Yeah, things that Grant will pass on. And here's a big thing that I guess IGN actually pulled out of the Game Developers Conference. Platinum made a kick-ass TMNT game. So, obligatory Emily mention for the podcast. Emily can freak out. TMNT, Mutants in Manhattan, surprised people in a lot of great ways. Open-ended, variety of enemies, challenging bosses, and co-op abilities. Things that people have been wanting from TMNT games for quite some time. All of that, very good stuff and more coming out of the Game Developers Conference. But the big takeaway is everyone is trying to get in on the VR game as fast as they can. I don't know how smart that is, given how expensive the technology is, to be developing games for a system that no one's going to be able to afford.
It's not just that it's really expensive to start up. It's that there is nothing for it yet.
Right.
We don't have any games for VR yet. Once we do, okay, then we can start talking about when people will start thinking about purchasing $1,500 for an Oculus machine, not just the Oculus itself. It's the price cap here is just far too high.
So we're going to move on. And I don't know what to make of this news, so I'm not going to put it in a category of good, bad, or otherwise. A report out of Japan says Nintendo is ceasing Wii U production this year. Huh. They will stop making the console production on it at the end of 2016. The report basically says that Nintendo has already stopped making Wii U accessories and intends to deplete its inventory before the end of the year.
They actually did the exact same thing with the GameCube just prior to the Wii's release. And people freaked out and they thought, is this the end for Nintendo? Is this the end? No, it was just ramping up for their next machine that's coming out. Hopefully it's not the Wii U 2.
No, the president of Nintendo has reaffirmed that Nintendo will talk more about the NX in 2016 as they ramp down the Wii U. Things that are bad, and I'm going to put this in the bad category. Apparently, there were some people who got accidental free Fallout 4 season passes.
Wow.
Yeah, those have been revoked. Come on. Yep. After a mistake led to UK PS store users being able to quote unquote purchase the Fallout 4 season pass for free last week, Sony Europe announced that those who did get a free download have had their order revoked.
Boo.
Sony bringing down the ban hammer like a mofo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's nothing to that. Look, sorry, guys, you thought you got a freebie and you didn't. However, I'm going to bring in some high good to end it. The developers of Rocket League, super popular game on the PS4 and on the Xbone, are saying that they have already figured out PS4, Xbox One, crossplay.
Wow.
They've already got it ready to go. Psyonix says that technologically, everything works. We've got it figured out. Just a little bit of time to get everything up and running. Right now, excitement is the best way to put it. We just want to get in there and make it happen. And this is from the Psyonix Vice President, Jeremy Dunham, who also said, the only thing we have to do now is sort of find out where we stand politically with everyone, and then it's full steam ahead to finish the solution that we've already started.
Full steam ahead.
Yeah,
because the game was originally released on Steam. That's
that is the only PC Master Race reference that you're getting this week. That's all I've got for gaming. Greg, you've got TV this week.
I do, yeah. So Jeremy Renner was at Silicon Valley Comic Con, which is a new thing Steve Wozniak was putting together in Silicon Valley. And because I'm from there, this is really exciting.
Isn't it nice to be that rich where you can one day be like, we're going to do a Comic Con here.
Because I want it.
Yeah.
In all of our conversations with Mark Hodges, we already know this is not a small feat to put something like this together.
Yeah.
So awesome that Woz was able to do it. Anyway, Jeremy Renner was one of the guests, which is also awesome that he was able to pull such massive guests as he did.
When you've got more money than God, it's not hard to do.
Yeah, it's Woz, man. He can pull.
Yeah, I mean, he probably has them on speed dial. You know?
They're homies.
Yeah.
They probably kick it and sing songs about being Hawkeye.
Renner, my toilet's clogged. Come here.
Unclog it with an arrow. Entertain me.
Anyway, Jeremy Renner was at Silicon Valley Comic Con, and somebody asked him if he would be open to a Hawkeye TV show, and he said, hell yes. In fact, I love what Netflix is doing with Daredevil and with Jessica Jones, and I would love to work with Netflix, or I'd love to work with somebody on this because I love their model. This would be great. And I think, fuck yes, this would be great, because we need more Jeremy Renner Hawkeye. As we saw in Age of Ultron, this was an awesome character, and yes.
Yeah, I want a Hawkeye series. I want it just like Matt Fraction and David A. Haas series that was critically acclaimed. Give me Pizza Dog. Give me Renner in an apartment in New York. Of course, he can Skype with his wife and kids. But, I mean, give me that Hawkeye. Give me apartment dwelling, New York living Hawkeye interacting with Luke and Jessica and Daredevil and Frank and Elektra. I want it. I want it. I want it. I want it.
And that's kind of why I still went on record with you guys, at least, saying that I prefer Netflix to the Marvel movies.
I still think that's a bit of a statement.
Or is it? Because we've watched the equivalent of 14 Marvel movies between two seasons of Daredevil and one season of Jessica Jones.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe, played end-to-end with no breaks, is 5 days long. 5 days. 5 days, man.
It's long as hell.
Avengers was the best movie the year it came out. Not even a hesitation to say that.
I'm not saying...
Lauded film critic John Serba agrees.
I'm not trying to disparage Marvel movies because it's great, but I prefer the Netflix form because you can do more with the characters in a way that a movie can't. A movie is just a big smash, there you have it, now go home.
It lends itself more to the comic book medium because you're able to tell a much longer story with shorter bites.
I don't think you should do anything but team movies from now on for the Marvel Universe.
You do that. You say 13 episodes is great and everything, but sometimes it stretches it out a little bit too much.
Jessica Jones?
Sometimes.
Sometimes it's a bit much,
so,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There is something
to
be
said.
There's something to be said for being able to tell a succinct story in a two-hour format. That's all I'm saying. And again, I don't like the idea of cramming an entire comic book storyline into one movie a la Devil in the Bottle, Iron
Watchmen.
Man 2. Well, Watchmen, sure, if we're going to venture outside of the universe we were discussing. But yes, you know, I'm thinking more. You tried to do Devil in the Bottle with Iron Man 2, and it failed pretty epically. You know, you didn't get the story anyone wanted. You did the Mandarin in Iron Man 3, and it wasn't what anyone
Mandarin
wanted.
Extremists. Like,
yeah. You tried to do two iconic storylines in one movie. That doesn't work. But I think Marvel is learning from these missteps, and you're getting longer form stories. I'm not going to spoil anything in Daredevil Season 2, but when they got to a certain point and they basically... used the title of a story arc from a comic book as a line in the show, I squealed like a little girl. Yee! And those moments are great. But also the moments you got in Avengers, the beats that you got were amazing as well. So you've got to balance the two. And I understand where you're coming from. You're a comic book guy. Die hard, Grant. Mm. But you've got to, you can't, I guess, devalue the Marvel movies based on that. You got to keep in mind, they told succinct stories. They did stuff. I mean, Iron Man is still a classic. People forget about it. But it did something no one had ever done. So that's where I stand on that. What else you got, Greg?
Also, this week, we had a perfect segue, Daredevil. Daredevil Season 2 came out, and oh my God, it's amazing.
Oh, so good.
Oh, God. We can't spoiler. We're not going to spoiler. We're not going to spoiler. I know, John, you finished it already.
I did finish, yes.
Holy shit.
Greg, Grant, did you finish it too?
No, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so you and I are the only ones who haven't finished it yet.
It's because we have jobs.
Gerbs.
We got gerbs.
I also have a job.
Yeah, I know. All four of us have jobs. I'm just. Yeah.
And I got two kids.
Yeah, well, I made the stupid promise that I would watch it with my girlfriend, and she's been working, and we've just been on opposite hours, and it sucks.
Amateur.
Let's just say she's not even actually watching it.
Look, man, I'm trying to be respectful, all right?
I know.
Talk your shit somewhere
else.
That's
why I'm single.
John has money to do
better
fun
to
stuff.
Ask forgiveness than permission.
Yeah, you know how well that works out, married guy. Fuck you.
Just saying.
How often do you ask forgiveness instead of permission from Lady Doom?
How often do I tell her what I do? You're not listening. I know you're not listening.
She doesn't. Love you, Lady Doom.
Anyway. So one of the things that, without getting spoilery here, one of the things that I did notice while I was watching this, and I think I'm about 6 or 7 episodes in, is that we're starting to see a lot of the same rhythm from the first season start panning out. We saw that with the first couple of episodes, and then there was a thing that happened, and I am not spoilering when I say there's a really awesome fight.
You shouldn't.
Because there's more than one really awesome fight.
There's quite a few.
There's a specific one, though, that people are going to watch, and they're going to go, this is cool, I want to watch it on YouTube later. Much like in Daredevil Season 1, well, you've probably seen it, so spoilers, blah, 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 the hallway fight scene was fucking epic. Drew parallels to Old Boy, which I love. It's incredible. And I'm seeing a lot of these same beats happen in Season 2, which is not necessarily a bad thing because they work and because we actually are able to see more of the characterization of some of the outside characters aside from Matt Murdock. I'm loving what is happening with Foggy Nelson. We're seeing him more... we're seeing him more as worried Foggy. And we're seeing him more as he wants to do something.
But he doesn't know what to do with
it. He doesn't know what to do with it yet. And it's really, really fun to watch.
It's very much so, this season 2 of Daredevil, you're seeing a lot more of the Foggy that we know and love from the comic books. Am I right, Grant?
That same thing could be said for all the characters.
But here's the thing. There is one of the romances, and we'll discuss this after the podcast, because I want to discuss with you guys. One of the romances in this season of Daredevil is making me want to puke. It is making me want to puke, and we'll get into it. Look, we'll give it another week for people to watch it, and next week we'll get a little spoilery on Daredevil Season 2. But I am just...
It's a little bit over the top.
It's a bit much.
Yeah.
It is a bit much. Like when people Snapchat you everything they're doing with their girlfriend.
Hey, don't you fucking look at me. My snaps are entertaining as hell.
We also have to recognize that Matt Murdock gets more ass in the Marvel Universe than everybody.
Yo, right? Matt Murdock getting it in.
You know why? I was watching this interview with a guy that was blind, and he was talking about how he could have any woman he wanted because every woman he has ever been with is a 10.
I like it.
And he can convince them of that, and it's very easy. That's why Matt Murdock gets some.
There we go. All right, you got anything else for TV?
Just real quick, we're seeing the CW saying basically auto-renew on everything that we watch.
Which is the right move.
It is absolutely the right move. Whether or not you think that Arrow has gone on too long, Arrow's getting renewed. We're seeing The Flash getting renewed as it should. Legends of Tomorrow is getting renewed for a second season, which I'm really excited about, and I'm very happy about as well.
It's way cool.
The only issue I think we're going to see with Arrow, and I'll make this quick, is that I think we're going to see more major character deaths as the CW can no longer afford to pay all of those stars.
Right.
As they're getting movie roles, they're getting offers to do other stuff. I think Katie Lotz has a starring role in a film, actually alongside Brandon Routh. So you're going to see them having to shell out more money, and they're not going to have it available.
Right.
John, you looked like you were going to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure the entire cast of Legends of Tomorrow is in that movie.
Yeah. They may have shot it in between episodes. So, all right, Grant, finish us out with books.
Hi! I'm going to start off with Bad First. So, as I might have said, I'm not a fan of Spider-Gwen or Female Wolverine or anything like that because I feel like you're just pandering at that point.
What is that rule called?
Rule 63?
Yeah.
But sad news is the co-creator of Spider-Gwen is retiring from comics.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of like what Stephen Platt, the guy I'm currently writing about, it's going to be a big piece up next week.
Thecourtofnerds.com. There you go. Way to follow through.
This guy is basically quitting comics so he can work on advertising and storyboarding and stuff like that, which is incredible. But his final story arc in Spider-Gwen is going to be Gwenom.
Oh, damn it!
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Yeah, Spider-Gwen's going to encounter a symbiote and become Venom. This is Gwenom.
Gwenom. Great.
Yeah, that's what he's going out on.
Wonderful. This is one of those times I wish Ben was here for some righteous rage.
Yeah, and in my note, I just have, holy shit, really, Gwenom? This, it just...
Move on. I don't want to talk about
exactly
it. Move on.
What he has written down.
Move on. Awesome. I'm super sad. Move on.
No, now let's go to fun stuff.
Yay!
Out this week is TMNT number 56. It's not Batman TMNT, but the main book is still incredible. It doesn't let up. The main artist, Mattia Santoluco, is returning to the title, which I am ecstatic about because I think he's one of the single most underrated artists in comics going. This book is also going to have Leatherhead make his IDW debut. You know, the big alligator. Leatherhead.
Yeah, I know Leatherhead. Yeah.
Super excited about that. Batman 50 is also dropping this week. John made a note.
Look at that. There's that note in this visual medium of podcasting.
And it's also going to be $4.99. Which is a lot more than other...
Typical cover price. Yeah.
And it's going to have a Jim Lee polybag variant, which, at this point, I'm not really excited about Jim Lee variant covers anymore.
They haven't been great.
No. There is Grayson number 18 has a polybag variant that's going to be done by the aforementioned Stephen Platt, which looks incredible, and I already reserved a copy. So that's just coming out. It's going to be great. And the last good thing is, oh my gosh, Luther Strode number 5 was fucking sweet. This is the
finale of the whole shebang.
It's the penultimate issue.
Penultimate means the second to last.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it ends you with Luther Strode finally meeting Kane, and this whole journey has led up to this point. And you're happy because, you know, it's going to be an epic fight. And in this issue, of course, Trad Moore is fantastic. Every fight scene is just incredible.
Can we just take a minute and talk about how great Trad Moore is?
He might be one of the best going right now. We're super excited to see where he's going to go afterwards. And our close personal friend, Justin Jordan, is knocking it out of the park because the way he's making these characters to be able to be fleshed out is incredible. The whole issue just hits everything on all cylinders. So it's just kind of sad because, you know, Luther Strode's
coming to a close.
Yeah.
Well, that means that we can start looking forward to the movie trilogy.
Absolutely.
So we'll get Justin back on to talk about that soon, very, very soon. All right, listen, stick around. We are going to have Grand Poobah of the Grand Rapids Comic Con, Mark Hodges, joining us later in the week? Okay, you can say words. You don't have to, motion at me. You can interrupt me and be like, hey, man.
Yeah, we're going to have him on later this week.
There we go. All right. Mark Hodges, don't miss that. TheCourtOfNerds.com. And if you're joining us on iTunes, thanks. We're back, bitches.
Yeah!
This is Court of Nerds. I'm Drew.
I'm Greg.
John.
Stugart.
And be sure to check out TheCourtOfNerds.com.
Hey, I'm Ben with The Court of Nerds. Sometimes I say things with my mouth and write things with my fingers. You can find us on Facebook. We're The Court of Nerds. On Twitter, @court_of_nerds. If you don't mind getting weird, intruding pictures in the middle of the night, you can add us on Snapchat @court_of_nerds. And our website, thecourtofnerds.com.